When we went to Africa, one of the things that we noticed was that the people there are much more in tune to demon activity. Now, that being the case, when you come back to the United States of America, you recognize that the other extreme is of a sort here. And that is basically because those in Africa are still in tune to the fact that there is a spirit world, and those in the United States of America in general think we're all that matters. And it would do well for the church to help our own nation recognize there is a spirit world. Now, by all means, that involves demon activity, but by all means, it involves the activity of God. And our nation needs to know that God is still alive. Amen. Last week, we began looking at this story in Luke chapter 8 of this demon-possessed man named Legion, because so many demons had entered him. And if you remember what we talked about last week, one of the things we found out, and you see this in several places in the New Testament, when Jesus would encounter someone who was possessed by a demon, that the demon or demons knew who he was from that side of eternity. And last week we talked about, I think it's a cool thing to recognize that even the demons knew that Satan is not the Most High God. Isn't that cool? They recognized Jesus as the Son of the Most High God, the Most High God being Jehovah, Jesus being His Son. And how cool is that, that we can get a testimony from the guys of that other realm who are the enemies of the kingdom of God of how great Jesus is. And so we looked at that a little bit. We also looked a bit at the fact that they knew that Jesus was about to free this man of their terror. And so when they got busy praying for help, they didn't pray to Satan. They knew Satan didn't have any word in the matter, so they petitioned the Lord. As we see in the first passage, I'm reminding us of what we looked a little bit last week in verse 31, Luke chapter 8, verse 31. They, the demons, were entreating him not to command them to depart into the abyss. So they were praying to Jesus. Why? Because they knew Jesus had the final word. And again, we looked at last week how awesome it is that you and I, as the children of God, know that this God to whom we pray has the final word in everything. And as you think about that, we noticed last week this thought. If these demons thought that they had any chance of getting a favorable response to the enemies in the kingdom, Jesus being their enemy, if they thought they had any chance of getting a favorable response from Him, then by all means, His own children ought to pray with a hope and an anticipation and a faith, knowing we're going to get a favorable response from our Heavenly Father. So as we think about this and this encounter, and we recognize that they didn't want to be tormented, they knew God did not tolerate sin, so they don't want to go to the abyss, and that was what caught my eyes years ago reading through this. Why not? As Peter said, that God did not spare angels, but cast them into hell and committed them to pits of darkness reserved for judgment. These guys already knew what that was. And they did not want to go there. And I'm always thinking, listen, if they didn't want to go there, we don't want to go there either. Amen? And so by all means, what a joy that we do not have to go. Because God in His grace, who has to do something about sin, did something for me. He sent His only Son to pay the price for all my sin, so I don't have to spend eternity in hell. That's good news. And our nation, who doesn't think much about God at all, needs to know that if they die without Christ, they will spend eternity in hell. But we have an answer for that. And His name is Jesus Christ. And so these demons were entreating Him not to command them to depart into the abyss. Verse 32 says, and there was a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. The demons entreated Him to permit them to enter the swine, and He gave them permission. When you read the Gospel of Mark, you find it was about 2,000 of them. You can imagine this man was struggling. 2,000. Wow. Verse 33 says, the demons came out from the man and entered the swine. The herd rushed down the bank into the lake and were drowned. I find it interesting that Jesus gave them permission, because again, it is wording that Jesus has the final word. And so in this story, and we see what happens here, what we see as we go on in this, in verse 34 says, when the herdsmen saw these guys that were standing around in herding the swine, and I don't know if there were herds of other types of cattle or not, but these herdsmen saw what had happened. They ran away, yeah, imagine, and reported it in the city and out in the country. Good news. Listen, I say good news. It ought to be good news that the man got healed. But notice the story. It says in verse 35, and the people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus, and they found the man. How did they know who this guy was? Let me tell you what, everybody in that area knew who this guy was. All right? And they saw the man, though, from whom the demons had gone out, sitting down at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Jesus made him well. Isn't that beautiful? We're going to talk some more about that along the way, but let me just say it in case I forget later during the sermon, or in case you're sleeping. If you are facing anything in life right now that is bigger than you are, and we all do that at times, if you're facing anything in life right now that is bigger than you are, it's not bigger than Jesus is. He can take care of that. Okay? If he can take care of this guy's problems, he can take care of ours too. And he can. So hang on to that as we look at this passage. Now, it says here at the end of the verse that they became frightened. Now, you would think that if we were a part of that story, but we've been excited, we've been sharing the story about how Jesus did this and how Jesus changed this person's life, but they became frightened. As a matter of fact, when they came and saw this again, verse 36, those who had seen it reported to them how the man was demon-possessed and had been made well. They'd already been telling everybody that, but they came back too, and, well, this is what happened, and you can hear in your mind them sharing that story. And it says in verse 37, and all the people of the country of the Gerasenes and the surrounding district asked him, that being Jesus, to depart from them. What? Isn't that awful? What a sad verse. Jesus has performed this incredible miracle, relieved this man of all of these demons, and they ask Jesus to leave. And it says here again, for they were gripped with fear. So why did they become frightened? Why were they gripped with fear? Unless they were beginning to recognize a couple of things you might say about this. First of all, whoever thought they were going to make some money off 2,000 pigs, well, they're in the sea drowned. So it might be that some of them were thinking, well, if he goes around casting out demons, I don't know, we're going to lose all our cattle. I don't know if that was an issue or not. One of my thoughts in this passage as I pray through it is this. To let Jesus stay in your life. And I'm going to word it that way because by all means, he's going to come to you. Listen, we have a God who in his grace has sought to reveal himself to man from the beginning of life to the end. And so he comes to us. There's no one who will end up in heaven who gets to heaven because they found their way to God first. God comes to us. Ain't God good? He comes to us in his grace, and so Jesus comes to you, but for Jesus to stay with you, for you to invite him into your life, for you to have him stay with you, he is going to change the way things are. And I think one of the reasons they became frightened was they realized that if Jesus stayed, He's not done yet. So you realize that when you invite Jesus Christ into your life, and see, this is one of the difficulties we have in popular Christianity today if we're not careful. We're inviting people to Jesus for a quick 1, 2, 3 step, say this, do this, you get to go to heaven when you die, then you're good. But listen, by all means, our Lord is a transforming Lord. And when He comes into your life, He is going to change things the way He wants them. And as long as we resist, and as long as we don't want Him to change, He's just going to keep working on us. Why? Because I am now owned by Him. What's the Scripture say? You are bought with a price. The price of the blood of Christ. And so when He comes in, He's going to change things. And so I'm wondering if these people didn't recognize, boy, if He stays here, He's going to keep doing this kind of thing. He's going to do whatever it takes to get the things in our lives out that do not belong, and maybe we like things just the way they are. But by all means, praise the Lord, He's a transforming Lord, and you and I need the changes He makes, no matter how difficult they are. You know, sometimes I wonder if they didn't become frightened because, listen, all of a sudden, their gauge for checks and balances was gone. Say, what do you mean by that? Well, this is what I mean. You know, if you were ever having a bad day in that region, you lived there, you lived in that country, if you were ever having a bad day, things weren't going the way, you could always think, yeah, but I ain't as bad off as old Legion over there. You know, I don't know why it is, but boy, we just find comfort as long as you can find somebody worse off than yourself. I hear that all the time, and I keep trying to say, folks, that ain't in the Bible. What verse is that? Where is the verse that says you can feel good about your life as long as you can find somebody worse off than yourself? Because I always think about, what about that person who can't find anybody? That'd be kind of rough. Can you imagine Legion? Can you imagine, here he is. Matter of fact, when you study this in the Gospel of Mark, it says, you know, he was living in the tombs and he was a wild man. He would gash himself with stones. Doesn't sound very happy, does it? I want you to imagine one day he's out there going wild and he's gashing himself with stones and somebody comes along with an ox cart and he gets in their way and he's acting all kind of wild and they just run over him and break his leg. And their legion is laying there gashing himself with stones, yelling, and he's got a broken leg. And you think he just came to his senses one time and said, you know what? Why am I feeling this way? I can always find somebody worse off than myself. I don't imagine that happened to him. See, I wonder if these people, they saw Legion and all of a sudden, well, you can't ever point to Legion anymore and say, hey, at least I'm not as bad off as Legion. Can't say that. Who's going to be next on the list? That'd be kind of rough, wouldn't it? But you would think that after seeing what happened to his life, they would want that. See, because a lot of times what we're thinking is, if I can find somebody worse off than myself, then maybe I don't need that much help. Listen, I just want you to know that my sin and your sin has exactly the same result and eternal destination as did Legion's before Jesus touched his life. And so no matter how we gauge and measure and compare problems in life, it doesn't matter if you can find somebody worse off than yourself. What matters is, if you still have problems, you need help. And there's help to be had in Jesus Christ. But they asked him to leave. You think we would ask Jesus to leave our town if he came here? Are things in our town just the way we want it and we don't want anything to change? Or do we want him to change whatever he wants to change? What about our church? Uh-oh, I went to meddling. If Jesus comes to our church, do we want him to stay and do whatever he wants to do? Or it's like, Lord, now don't change too much. We like it just this way. What about our home? Do we want Jesus to come into our home? When He comes into our home, would He do like He did with Legion? When he connected with Legion, what was in Legion's life that did not belong there, He got rid of. And so, would we in one way or another ask Him to leave our homes? Are there things in our homes that Jesus would say, this does not honor me, it needs to go? So it's possible that by the way we live in our town, in our church, in our homes, that we're really asking Jesus, well, come, but come at a distance. See, because if we say, hey, do you want Jesus in your life? Oh, yeah, I want Jesus in my life. I want to go to heaven when I die. But a lot of times the way we have invited Christ into our life is kind of like if I said, hey, guys, Kay's not here this week. Y'all come over this Friday night. We're going to have a party. That's my wife, for those of you who don't know. But y'all know that wouldn't be a party without Kay anyway. But if I invited you over to the house Friday night, y'all come over Friday night, we're going to have a good time, and you show up and knock on the door, and I'm not even there, that'd be a little weird, wouldn't it? But you know, a lot of times that's exactly how we treat the Lord. You know, we have in our mind, yes, I want the Lord to come in my life, I want the Lord to bless me, I want the Lord to do what He wants to do, but then basically a lot of times by the way we live, we're not home. We're somewhere else. We're not expecting Him. Sometimes we have so piled up our schedule such that there really is no room for Him. When we look at our life, oh, I'm not as bad off as Legion. I'm not as bad off as that person. Doesn't matter. If Christ is not the center of my life, if He is not the center of your life, then He has some changes He wants to make. Would you agree with that? He does. You know why He wants to be the center? Well, He's just selfish. Let me just tell you what. When Jesus is at the center of your life, you are never more at peace. You are never more fulfilled than when He's right there. And so to invite Jesus in, to invite Jesus to stay, is for Him to change life. To change life. And certainly, that's what He did for Legion. So what needs to be eliminated from my life and your life so that Christ can come in and have His place? If you look at excerpts again from verse 35, just 1, 2, 3, 4, what happened to this man? Well, the demons went out. Things have to leave our life. He was sitting down at the feet of Jesus. He was at peace where He needed to be, right at the feet of Jesus. Certainly a place of worship. Certainly a place of non-distracted focus and attention. He was clothed. In other words, it said, you know, earlier in the text that, man, he used to run around and didn't have any clothes on, but now he's clothed. And one of the things that I see in salvation is he's covered. The blood covers us. And he's in his right mind. Some of us today would not say that we're demon possessed. But some of us today are not in our right mind because of so many other things that we've allowed in that are bombarding us that our minds are not on Christ and His kingdom. So here this man is. He has been completely restored in the grace of Jesus Christ. I get to thinking about that sitting there sometimes because, let me ask you this. You know, every now and then we're going down the highway and we see these convicts that have gotten, for them, a special privilege to go out on the highway and pick up trash. Now, that doesn't sound like something you want to do, but it's better than being locked up. And so they get out, and usually we see them possibly in orange jumpsuits or something, and they're picking up trash along the highway. Now, if the next day one of them is pardoned or have served their time and they leave, how many of them do you suppose wake up 2 months later, man, I miss picking up trash on the highway. And so they go out and they pick up trash on the highway, and you see them out there and you roll your window down and say, what are you doing? Oh man, I just miss picking up trash on the highway. And so I decided to pick up some more trash. Do you think Legion, after this, ever woke up 2 months later and thought, you know what? I think I'm going to go back to the cemetery and gash myself with some stones. I just miss that life. So what am I saying that? I'm saying is that when we let Christ take the throne of our heart, He is going to change things. But He's going to change them for the better. And we're going to be glad we let Him. We're going to be glad we invited Him in. As a matter of fact, Legion responds this way. If you look at the first part of verse 38, he says, but the man from whom the demons had gone out was begging him that he might accompany him. It's like, Jesus, boy, I want to go with you. Well, I'm going to tell you what, I know you know that those of you who spend that close time with God, when you're spending time with the Lord and you're not only pouring out your heart to Him, but you're listening to His Word and you've got that close communion going on, when you're there, it's like, I don't want to leave this. I want to stay right here, Lord. This is where I want to live. And this man has just experienced this incredible deliverance from Jesus. And so he's begging Jesus, Jesus, you're leaving. Now, why is he leaving? Well, if you remember, it said at the end of verse 37, they asked him to leave, so he got in the boat and he left. Okay, and so in the process of leaving, this man is saying, oh, I want to go with you, I want to go with you. When you experience what the Lord wants to do in your life, you want to be with Him. And so it is a challenge to me and to you if there are days in our life when we wake up and we're really not interested in following Jesus. We missed something somewhere there, didn't we? This man is begging. But somebody's going, yeah, but he didn't deliver me from 2,000 demons. I didn't need that much. See, we really need to swap this around, and we really need to remember to say it this way. Not, well, you can always find somebody worse off than yourself, so I really don't need that much help. What we need to say is, if Jesus could change and transform and renew that guy, then He can certainly do that for me too. Because you and I know that sometimes it's the littlest, little old nothing of a thing that'll ruin our day. And it just shows how spiritually shallow we are, myself included. Okay, and so it's like, Lord, help me to remember that if you can do that for him, that you can do that for me. Whether I've got 1,999 demons or whether I've got a little problem that I've let get in between me and you. Whatever it is, he can handle it. Okay. And so by all means, this man's wanting to be with Jesus. But what does Jesus say? You notice the end of verse 38 and verse 39. But Jesus sent him away saying, return to your house and describe what great things God has done for you. And so he did. He was obedient. He went away and proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. I hope you'll see this. You'll see this all throughout the New Testament in particular. How the New Testament at different places will use God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, and in some very close passages and use them interchangeably. Jesus said, recognize this came from God, what great things God has done for you. So he went and told what Jesus had done for him. Well, that's what God did. He sent Jesus. But I always think about this story and I think, well, how fascinating that must have been. Because by all means, I think of this area on the other side of the Sea of Galilee as a town like Clanton. Would y'all say that Clanton is an interesting small town? I've always put it this way. Listen, I can sneeze and before I blow my nose, somebody's calling and asking me if I got a cold or not. You know, I mean, we're close, and so we know what's happening. Let me tell you what, these people knew what was happening. Not only did they know this man from the past, but word had already spread and what was happening. And so here this guy, he's coming back to the town to tell his story. And I imagine on the outskirts of town, he comes across somebody, and I don't know if his name was Bob before it was Legion. But let's just say it was Bob, and somebody sees him, and Bob, is that you? Yeah, man, Jesus changed my life. So there he is on the outskirts of town, and he's headed home, and I just always imagine that he's got a song already in his heart. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. So I always think about this story kind of like one of those westerns where the bad guy's starting to come downtown and boy, everybody is scurrying away and shutting doors and hiding and pulling down the shades. But is that music we hear? And he gets a little closer. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me doth continually dwell. And if he had a family, I just wonder if one of the kids said, Mama, is that Daddy? He never sounded like that before, because I figure they're already hiding in the closet or under the table or something. Where do you suppose he's going to go first? Well, I believe he's headed toward the house. And so it gets a little louder as he sings, I think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of Him all the day long. I sing for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. Honey, I'm home! Well, what's it like when we come through the door? Do we come through the door like a person who's been changed by the Lord? And I don't mean we're always acting that way, but you know the other side of the coin. Man, there are a lot of days when I walk in the door and that's not what Kay experiences. Because I finally get in that realm where I can share how difficult the day was. But I try to watch that Kay a long time ago. Now, for those of you who don't know Kay, she's Cajun, and I never have to worry about what she's thinking because she done told me. Years ago, early on in the ministry, I was in one of those preacher moods in the house. And boy, she just got right up in my face and she said, I bet you didn't treat the people at church like that, did you? No, ma'am. Boy, I remember that. And it's like, Lord, help me to be real in and out and through and through. And He's still working on me. Anybody here, God's still working on you? But He's still working on me. But I think this guy was so excited about his relationship with the Lord, and he went back and he was sharing what Jesus had done for his life, and it changed his life. And so as you and I think about that again, we just continue to remember, okay, Jesus has touched my life too. He has done great things in my life too. He has been with me. He did die for me. He did cleanse me of sin. He has given me an eternal hope. He has put a song in my heart, but so many times I've tucked that song away while I focused on things that were not what I would have chosen. Because just because this man was delivered from 2,000 demons, or we would say, or so, that does not mean his life was perfect from there on out. You do realize that. He still had to battle problems inside and out, just like we all do. But he had a Lord to help him with it as he went through them. So, when I was a kid, if you had asked me, what's one of your favorite hymns? Now I've got so many I can't list them all. But as a kid, if you asked me, what's your favorite hymn? I would have said, Since Jesus Came Into My Heart. Now that sounds all spiritual, but to be honest with you, as a kid, I just liked the tune. Not that I didn't like the words at all, but as a kid, I liked the tune. But now, I like the words. What a wonderful change in my life. How about you? Has your life changed since Jesus came into my heart? If Jesus stays, yes, he's going to want to change things, but let him. What he wants to do is marvelous. He is the creator God who created this fascinating universe and earth that we continue to study and find unimaginable things that just are indescribable. And this is the kind of God who wants to recreate the essence of who we are. But it doesn't happen unless he stays. Is he with you? Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Your grace is beyond description. Thank you for loving the likes of us. Thank you for coming to us. Lord, those of us who would, however we compare ourselves to others, we would say of ourselves, Lord, I don't deserve for you to come to me. None of us do. But you come anyway. And Lord, here you are, knocking on the door of a heart, saying, if any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. Father, thank you that in Christ, our life can be changed too. Thank you that for those of us who know you are there, can recognize the great things that you have done in our life, and may we too share what you've done for us with others. Father, that they too might be able to experience your love and grace and transformation. Again, no matter how they compare their life or their need, each of us needs you desperately. But you are here, and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.